divine earthly retribution and reward. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
That's Steve Brown, and this is Key Life. He doesn't think of himself as super spiritual, but he is honest. He loves the Bible, and he loves to teach it, to apply it to daily living. Steve?
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to 2 Chronicles, if you're in a place where you can open your Bible. We have gotten to this point in our Old Testament survey. We're taking each book of the Older Testament, spending a little bit of time, sometimes a little bit more than a little bit of time, 2, 3, maybe at the outside, 4 weeks on each of the books of the Older Testament, and we're up to the book of 2 Chronicles. And yesterday I told you that if you want a handle for the final chapters of the book of 2 Chronicles, beginning at the 15th chapter, there are 5 revivals or awakenings that happen within the context of that book. Asa, Jehoshaphat, Joash, Hezekiah, and Josiah. In each of those places, God comes and does his thing. He revives his people. He's still doing that. I yesterday talked about how I had become a prophet earlier in my ministry, when the church was in serious trouble and God had died and all the people in our culture were saying the day of the church was over. And I said, don't count on it. And I was quite wise, and it wasn't because I had a supernatural gift. It was because I had a supernatural book and a supernatural God. And I was a part of a supernatural institution, the people of God, and that we're never going to die. You want to go with the winner, go with the church. Because it's the bride, and eventually it's going to be without spot or wrinkle. It's going to be presented before the throne. That's us, and we're going to not be without spot or wrinkle between now and then. In fact, if you know the statement, if you like hot dogs or the law, don't watch either one of them being made. I would add to that, if you like hot dogs and the law and the church, don't watch any of them being made. You can lose your faith. The reason Paul said that a leader or an elder or a presbyter in the church shouldn't be a new believer wasn't because the older believer knew more. It was because the older believer had gotten more cynical. And an older believer doesn't lose his or her faith every time they find out that human beings are, well, human beings and sinners. At any rate, the church is God's church. And Campus Crusade may die. Key Life will die. Every organization that you know is going to die, but the church is never going to die. It's going to be sick. It's going to be crippled. It's going to be wounded, but it's not going to die. You know, we have a tendency, and I'm not saying this, that we always look back to the olden days when God, you remember that song, Grandpa? It was written by Jamie O'Hara, and the judge sang it. Grandpa, tell me about the good old days. Sometimes it feels like this world's gone crazy. Grandpa, take me back to yesterday, when the line between right and wrong didn't seem so hazy. Did lovers really fall in love to stay? Stand beside each other, come what may. Promises really something people kept, not just something they would say and then forget. Families really bow their heads to pray. Daddies really never go away. Grandpa, tell me about the good old days. I want to say to the judge when they sing that, all right, honey, I'll tell you about the good old days. No, lovers didn't fall in love to stay. No, they didn't stand beside each other come what may. No, promises really weren't something that people always kept. No, they were, in fact, something they would say and then forget. No, families didn't always bow their heads and pray, and daddies did sometimes go away. Grandpa, tell me about the good old days I just told you, and that's the truth. Because we're not any less or more sinners than they were in the good old days. But I tell you, there is a sense in which we can look back and say, do it again, God. Not because the good old days were better, but because periodically, in the history of the people of God, God brings revival. Now, he does it in his time and his way, and you can't manufacture it. Aren't you? Don't you get tired of people that keep trying to manufacture revivals? God is in this place. And if we can psych ourselves up and yell enough, then maybe we'll come to believe it and God really will come. And that doesn't work that way. God looks down, and sometimes when we need it, he comes himself. He pours out his spirit on his people, and we are revived. If you like a winner, stay with the church. The church is the visible manifestation of the kingdom of God on earth. And to play on Ethel Waters' quote, God don't sponsor no flops. Okay. So, the book of Chronicles, at least starting at the 14th or 15th chapter, deals with the awakenings that took place among the people of God. All right, let me share something with you about chapters 1 through 9. Now, if you'll take the time, and I'm expecting that what I'm doing by teaching you about the Old Testament books is that you'll read the Old Testament on your own, that it won't be such a horrific job to go and read the Old Testament books, because they're great. But if you go and read chapters 1 through 9 of 2 Chronicles, you're going to see the description of the splendor of the reign of Solomon. He was perhaps the most blessed and honored reigning king in the history of Israel. And these chapters, incidentally, constitute a commentary on Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be yours as well. Now, what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 6:33 is illustrated by the reign of Solomon in particular and all the revivals in Israel in general. The doctrine is divine earthly retribution or divine earthly reward. It's an absolute principle. No, it's not. But it does work, and I want to talk to you a little bit about it. You say, well, what is it? Divine earthly retribution says that before you die, you're going to get what you deserve. Some of the time, maybe even most of the time. The doctrine of divine earthly reward suggests that you're going to get what you deserve before you die, not all of the time, but some of the time. The principle of reward and retribution works in the same way the principle of gravity works. I remember an old preacher telling me one time, in fact, he was speaking at our church, and he was talking about, it was Manfred George Gutsky just before he died, and he'd come to preach at the church where I was then the pastor, and he said, let me tell you, when Jesus said I didn't come to destroy the law, I came to fulfill it, let me tell you what it meant. God gave us his law because that's the best way to be happy and prosperous and healthy. You live by the law, you may still get sick, you may still be poor, things may still not work out all right, but mostly, this is the way the world works. And if you live by it, you're going to be better off because of it. And then he said, those of you who aren't believers who are here tonight, I want you to know Jesus, but if you don't, I'm going to tell you something that's going to help you if you'll listen. If you'll do the best you can to live by this law, this is the way the world works, and you're going to be better off than you would be if you had not lived by the law. You know, people are always saying that AIDS is the curse of God on people who are homosexual. Don't you ever say that. That's not right. Have you ever held a baby with AIDS? Oh, man. What about people that got it through blood transfusions? God's not saying, you know, I have bad aim, and I'm going to get all the homosexuals, but I missed, I got that poor little baby. That's not what that is, but I want you to know, there is built into the nature of the universe some principles. If you live with sexual purity, you're not going to get AIDS. It's that simple. It isn't that God says, I don't like you because you're homosexual, I'm going to get you, but it's built into the universe. And so what we see in the reign of Solomon is divine, earthly retribution and reward, in this case, reward. Solomon was asked by God what he wanted, and he didn't say he wanted to be rich. He said, I want to be wise. And wisdom, we know, has to do with God. And because Solomon lived that out, God blessed what he did, because that's built into the nature of the universe. When my wife Anna and I took our first pastorate, we did a couple of things. First, we took a significant pay cut. And secondly, we tithe. Was that dumb or what? I want you to know, man, I took so much. I was doing really well financially. I was a morning disc jockey in Boston, and they paid really good. And you didn't, all you had to do was talk and spin records. I'd do that. I mean, I'd do that with my eyes closed, and they paid me a lot of money to do it. And then Jesus came along and messed it up, and I took this little church down on Cape Cod, and I think I was making $3,500 a year. And Anna said, we ought to tithe. And I said something profoundly spiritual, like, are you a fruitcake? We can't even pay the bills with this kind of money. But we did. You know something that happened? We lived better than we ever lived before. I had steak more often than I did before. We had lobster because we had lobstermen in our church that gave us lobsters. I was able to pay the bills for the first time in a long time. Is that because God said, you're a nice pastor and I'm going to bless you? No, it's because we started watching our money and being faithful with it. And that's divine earthly reward. There's some laws built into the universe. Obey them. You're going to be better off, trust me on this, than if you disobey them. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you're not a part of our Key Life Tape family, I'd love for you to be a part of it. If you'll give us a call at 1-800-KEY-LIFE 24 hours a day, or write Key Life Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3. Or you email us with your regular mailing address, steve@keylife.org, and ask to be a part of our Key Life tape family. You'll start receiving a tape every few weeks automatically. Now, these aren't the tapes of the broadcast. You have to subscribe to those, and if you ask us, we'll tell you how. These are tapes of places where I teach the Bible, at Reformed Theological Seminary in Orlando, at the Billy Graham Training Center, at our Lake Barclay Fellowship, at a missions conference. We send those tapes out, and if you don't like them, you can record music over them. They're free, and when I say that, I really mean it. If you'd like to be a part of it, let us know. Now, when I say they're free, that doesn't mean that I don't want you to help us financially. Friends, we don't have slush funds around here. We don't have big bucks. This is not a big ministry. And so if some people don't help us, we can't send out the hundreds of thousands of free tapes and pieces of literature. So if you can, pray about it and be as generous as you can. You can charge it on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, or you can include a contribution in your envelope. And for any contribution of any size, when you request it, I'll send you the cassette teaching as my thank you, What Good Is Guilt. Hey, Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.